Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org.
From Mansur's on the Boulevard, we're out to lunch with Stephanie Regal. It's business, Baton Rouge style.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Regal. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Healthcare in the U.S. is big business, and it's only getting bigger. In 2021, healthcare expenditures topped $4 billion in the U.S. By 2028, that number is expected to reach $6.2 billion. And within this growing and rapidly changing sector, nurses play an outsized role. They comprise the largest component of the healthcare workforce, are the primary providers of hospital patient care, and deliver most of the nation's long-term care. They're also helping to lead the charge in new ways of delivering care, creating companies right here in Baton Rouge that are reinventing the way nursing is done. With me today to discuss this is Renita Williams-Thomas, a pediatric nurse specialist and the owner and CEO of In Loving Arms Pediatric Day Health Center, a center for children with medically complex needs such as congenital heart disease, tracheotomy and seizures, genetic and neurological disorders, among others. The center combines skilled nursing, education, and therapies and enables children with chronic conditions to interact with other kids their age who may also be facing similar health challenges. Renita founded the center in 2012 after working in the field with the Southern University School of Nursing, where she earned her bachelor's and master's degrees, with Mary Bird Perkins Cancer Center, the State Department of Health, and the Louisiana School for the Visually Impaired. Renita, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was just touching on your resume a bit, because I know you've been active in very many other things. With me and Renita at the table is Blaisha Rivette, a registered nurse and the founder and owner of Decision Critical, a concierge nursing agency that offers in-home and mobile private duty nursing services in the Baton Rouge region. Services are tailored to fit patient and caretaker needs and include both acute and chronic conditions, elderly care, support, post-op recovery, and more. Blaisha founded the firm in 2014 to fulfill a need she saw in the community for a higher level of more personalized care than one typically gets at the doctor's office. Blaisha is a native of Baton Rouge and a graduate of Southeastern Louisiana University School of Nursing. And Blaisha, it's a pleasure to have you here today on Out to Lunch. Thanks so much for joining me.
Stephanie, thank you for having me. And Renita, it's an honor to sit at this table with you.
Honor is certainly mine.
Y'all both do great things. And Renita, you created In Loving Arms after you adopted a foster child with special health needs. Tell us that story.
Well, I was PRNing, or doing some relief work, at Earl K. Long Hospital, and this beautiful little girl was born, and my son was a senior at Episcopal, and I wanted to just help out. So I said, I've got to do something to help this child. So brought her home, and fast forward, when I got ready to go back to work, there wasn't a daycare that could meet her needs or would accept her because of her disabilities. So what we decided to do was we created, and rather than taking the path less traveled, we created our own path, creating the center that now meets the needs of many children here in the Baton Rouge area.
That is phenomenal. And wraparound services, like I said, I mean, sort of therapy, educational, as well as the health, like they have, you know, breathing needs or whatever.
Absolutely. In addition to that, transportation, daily transportation from the doorstep to the center. So the transportation is not a barrier to care as well.
Fantastic. Well, Blaisha, I want to bring you into the conversation because Decision Critical offers concierge nursing services. Such a great idea. We hear about concierge doctors. How does concierge nursing work, and how did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So I opened in 2014, and, you know, in 2014, I saw a need in the community for this private duty nursing services that customize personalized care in non-traditional settings. And then fast forward a little bit to the pandemic, And it just took off. You know, there's so many new concierge physicians coming to town and opening practices here. And so we work alongside many of those. And we honestly just fill in the gaps for several other healthcare services, such as home health, hospice, and other services like that.
So how does it compare, say, to a home health nurse or a nursing agency? I mean, is it just a higher level of care that you pay for out of pocket or what?
Yeah, so we are private pay. Those services provide wonderful nursing care. You know, they are governed by insurance. And so what we do is we fill in the gaps for those services. And so a patient may come home from the hospital and have home health or hospice services, but they also need care outside of the time when those type nurses are there. And so that's where we come in. Nice. And so if the home health nurse is going out on Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 9, but they need care in the evening from 5 to 7, then that's what we do. So the patient is allowed to direct our care.
That's so perfect. Yeah. Renita, tell me about how many kids do y'all serve, what ages you see, and I think you're in a relatively new facility that's an expansion of where y'all started out.
Right. We are the largest licensed pediatric day health center in the state of Louisiana, licensed for 70 children. But because of the acuity levels of the children, we decide how many we truly take into the facility. So right now we have about 50 children in the facility, and the ages of the children are 0 to 12. So we do prepubertal children, just making sure that we concentrate on just this little area that's our little niche. We are in a state-of-the-art facility. It's 8,800 square feet. Nice. It's a beautiful facility that was totally renovated right during the pandemic. So 2020, we totally renovated it. So it's $1 million, 8,800 square foot facility that is very, very beautiful.
And are the kiddos' needs mostly physical, or are there behavioral challenges as well, like severe autism, for instance, or developmental thing like a Down syndrome, or is it somebody with a heart disease?
Okay. It's a combination of both. They have to have a skilled nursing need in order to be accepted into the facility. So we do have breathing tubes, feeding tubes, respirators, ventilators, rare genetic syndromes. But so if a child that has Down syndrome also has maybe a cardiac defect or a G-tube, that's their skilled nursing intervention that gets them their ticket into the facility. If they just have Down syndromes, that's not necessarily something that we cater to. Or if it's just autism, they've got to have a skilled nursing need in addition to their other condition.
Gotcha. Interesting. So, Blaisha, tell me about your patients and who primarily are you serving? Is it a wide variety? Is it older people, younger people?
I would definitely say a wide variety. So anyone from a newborn, toddler, through end of life. Just recently, our elderly care population has become, you know, really busy. We can serve through any type of need: acute care, chronic care, post-operative care, elderly care, you name it, we can help.
Nice. Yeah. So roughly how many patients do y'all have right now in your roster?
I believe we currently have approximately 500 patients.
500?
Yes.
Wow. That's,
I have a team of 40 nurses, and majority of them are working close part-time, some full-time hours.
And are these 40 nurses like full-time employees for Decision Critical, or they do side gigs with you, or both?
Both, a combination. We do have full-time nurses, we have part-time nurses, and then we have what in the nursing world is called PRN nurses. And so they pick up as needed, meaning most of them have a full-time job, and then they pick up for us when and how they want.
And I would assume you don't have a brick and mortar outside of maybe an office, administrative, right?
We have an office where we can host meetings. Mm-hmm. My team, I call them my A team, but my office manager, my director of operations, and I said my office manager and my community liaison is there in our office along with me.
Now, Renita, how many nurses and staff work with you?
Okay, we have a total team of 47. Wow. We have RNs, LPNs, medical assistants, certified nursing assistants, occupational speech, and physical therapists, in addition to the driver. And we also have a nutritionist that works to make sure that all of the diets for the children with their varying needs are met as well.
Fantastic. And you obviously had a good bit of experience in nursing when you embarked on this very ambitious undertaking. But it seems like there was so much expertise that would be needed to properly care for the special needs population. How did you know where to start?
as a mother, it was truly a mother's need. And as I continue, there's 28 years of experience that I have in pediatric nursing specifically. All of my nursing has been pretty much in this area. But you learn every day. There's always something new that you're uncovering, or you're doing it a different way, best practice changes, and just staying in the current need and moving with the times, actually.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So you're private pay, Glacia, at your place, right?
We are.
And y'all offer different packages.
We do.
I saw. Whether it's a daily thing or a weekly thing, you might just need it for a time, or you might want to start something
exactly.
More permanent, right? Long term?
That's correct. Yes, we offer hourly options. So some patients just come home from the hospital and just need 2 hours of care. You know, come and look at my medications, help me get settled, tell me what I need to do going forward, show my caretaker what we need to do. And so we can go in for a minimum of 2 hours, help out with all their nursing needs. Or we have clients who hire us on full time, overnight, you name it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I imagine your services, Renita, are covered by insurance. Does government pay some of it? Do you get anything from the Department of Health?
It's a combination of all. We do Medicaid, private insurance, private pay. And with the private insurances, the deductible ends up being about the cost of traditional daycare. So moms can return to work or return to school, and the cost of out-of-pocket costs is not exorbitant.
Wow. And do you keep these, your patients full-time, or is it more of a transitional thing until maybe they're ready to go to school? Maybe some of them are able to go to school, some of them are not.
Okay, and that varies based on the disability of the child. Sure. So on a daily basis, the children are there from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Fridays, weekend and holidays off. In the scheme of how long they actually stay based on their disabilities, that'll vary based on what exactly is going on with them. Some may be just premature and may only need 90 days and can transition to a traditional daycare after that. Some of them have rare genetic syndromes, and we work with them to transition them to a traditional school in terms of their regular educational programs, maybe in kindergarten. So we work to develop their plans and work with their schools. But whenever they transition, whenever there's a school holiday or summer break, they can come back and work with us so that their therapeutic interventions can continue and they can go back after the summers to their traditional schools.
Since you opened in the more than a decade, you know, has there been any competition? I mean, has anybody else said, wow, that is a need and I'm gonna do one too?
There are, in Louisiana, there are a total of 24, which is, it pales in comparison of the need. But we are more like a traditional daycare center, and our competitor is more like a nursing home for children. So when you're looking at how we grow and how do we move forward and how do we get as close to normal as possible, we really are concierge in our area, and we get lots of referrals because of the way we do it and because of the compassion and the mom heart behind the services that we deliver.
Oh, I bet. That's so important. And Blaisha, and what about you?
So we are the premier concierge nursing agency here in town. There are a few individual nurses who offer some sort of private duty nursing services, but as far as all of the services that we offer, we are the one and only here in town. And so our goal is to just set the standards. You know, we're offering all sorts of nursing care within our scope of practice. There is really nothing that we can't do. Anything that we can do in the hospital or in the physician's office, we can do in the home. And so,
nice.
Well, yeah.
And do you have like specific provider partners, say, you know, a plastic surgeon that's going to always refer to y'all when they send home a patient after a, you know, a facelift or a, you know,
we do.
Breast reconstructive surgery or something like that.
Yes, we have amazing partnerships in town. And since we really are the one and only, and we provide such an exceptional level of care, I've heard providers say that it's easy to refer to us. And so they're proud to have us as an extension of their services.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Regal. I'm talking to Blaisha Rivette of Decision Critical and Renita Williams-Thomas of In Loving Arms Pediatric Day Health Center. I know there's such a nursing shortage in this community, in the state, around the nation, and I don't think that's really eased up. So has that made it harder for y'all to hire, or maybe nurses would prefer to work for either or both of y'all just because of your mission and the structure of your organization than in a hospital, say?
So I guess I'll take that first. But we have had some long-standing partners in terms of our nursing staff. It is a very niche business. You do have to have lots of experience and compassion for children. Everybody isn't a pediatric nurse. But what we found is once we bring them in, they've been very satisfied, not only with the structure of the organization, the level of care that they're able to give, weekends and holidays off. We really have a really solid A team, as you've said.
Yeah, I love that.
But we have a really good team. But it's hard to bring additional nurses, so we have to cater our business to meet the needs of the nursing staff that we have. But once we get them in, they're there for a long time.
What about it? A decision critical?
Mm-hmm. So I always say that our nurses are the absolute best of the best. We call it our nurse registry, and we actually have a wait list to get on our nurse registry. So what we do is every now and then when the demands increase and we need to bring on new nurses, I'll say, hey, pull me the top 10 nurses on our wait list. And then so this morning I sent a message and it's time to bring on 10 more nurses. So wow. I think we put it out there enough, the kind of nursing care that we expect to be delivered. And so the people that apply to be on our nurse registry are really the best of the best. And so it makes it easy.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And so what kind of network have y'all encountered here in Baton Rouge among, you know, healthcare professionals, but women business owners, nurses themselves, in terms of growing your business and recruiting talent and, you know, keeping it?
Yeah. I think I just kind of stay in the community, Rotary, Quota Club, and just, you know, word of mouth, just those women groups. So we've really had a really good opportunity to grow the business and to stay on the forefront of everyone's mind so that whenever there's a referral that's necessary, they're calling our name.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. And that's one of the things that we try to do. No matter what a patient needs in the healthcare medical world, I want them to think of us. And so they may need Renita's services, but I want them to say, let's use Decision Critical as a resource. Or I'm going back to work and I need to get caregiving services for my mother. And so we work hard to get a network of other businesses that we work alongside. And so it's easy when a patient calls us. We don't necessarily provide those services, but let me tell you who we work with, who does, because we were talking earlier, we rise by lifting others, and I love working alongside other businesses, local businesses in Baton Rouge. It's one of my favorite things.
And I've had the pleasure of using Blazia's services personally, and absolutely had a wonderful experience.
So that was my next question. Is there any overlap? So maybe not between your patients per se, but maybe there could be. Personally, you've had experience with Decision Critical, Renita.
Right. Personally, I've had a wonderful experience. I was overwhelmed and needed some extra refreshers and got a chance to meet her wonderful nursing team. And not only did I enjoy the services, but I also referred it to others.
That's fantastic.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And that's the type of care we strive to provide. It's just exceptional nursing care. And so with Renita, we just made this connection. I said, we talked on the phones. I signed your forms for years and years. So I was at pediatric cardiology for 18 years or 16 years. And we sent patients to Renita all the time. And
oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah. So we made that connection before here. They provide wonderful service.
Renita, you said that your patients age out at 12. Where do they go after that? I feel like in so many areas, children with special needs of a variety of kind have access to services and resources, and then it kind of just falls off the map as they get into the teen years, and even worse, in their 20s, you know, and beyond.
Right. Excellent question. Generally, though, at 12 years old, they're pre-adolescent, they're adolescent. They like the autonomy. They don't like the daycare setting. And what we do is we look at other community partnerships so that they can be as normal as possible. So we work with Breck and some other the school systems so that we can kind of get them to where. And then sometimes home health is a better option for them because they get a chance or the EP, you know, they some other state services they have where they have one-on-one caregivers as opposed to going to daycare with the other children. So we're able to transition them to other services to where it's a better fit for them.
And home health would be sort of the more just bare bones sort of version of what Blazia's company does, right?
Absolutely, it's correct.
It's just not on the patient's terms. It's more just doing what they can, right?
And right.
Paid for by insurance or our government. Blaisha, what is your service area? I know you're growing and much larger than probably a lot of people realize. Is it strictly Baton Rouge, or have you extended out beyond?
We are located in Baton Rouge, and we serve the greater Baton Rouge area. However, we do travel. I went to Indianapolis with a patient before. Yeah, so there's really, we will go anywhere.
Really?
Yes, we travel every day for our IVIG infusions that we do in the home, our IV hydration services. So we have a plastic surgery post-operative patient right now in New Orleans.
Okay.
So you name it, we can make it happen.
Would you, I suppose, if you were really going to grow your footprint, you'd have to maybe open satellite administrative offices or something, right, to oversee, say, the New Orleans territory or the Lafayette or Lake Charles territory? Is that a possibility? Or
I've thought about that. I think we'll probably keep our headquarters here and then maybe just hire nurses in those local areas. I've had several nurses reach it out from New Orleans, Hammond, Lafayette, and say, hey, if you ever want to come to town, we want to join you.
Yeah.
And so that is a possibility. I wanted to perfect what we're doing here and make sure all of our policies and procedures are just beautiful and seamless. And so that's kind of what we're working on now, is the manual of the private duty nursing world, so that I can literally hand it over to somebody and say, this is what you do. And so, yes, I'd love to grow. It is definitely in my future, just one step at a time.
Renita, what about y'all? I mean, you've been in Baton Rouge a long time. You're well established. You've grown here. Are there plans to grow beyond? And where do your patients come from? Mostly capital region or?
Right. We serve the greater Baton Rouge area as well.
Yeah.
But our children can only come from a 30-mile radius based on state regulations. So we moved a little further north so that we could do the Zachary, the New Roads, the St. Francisville area. But we 30 miles is our radius. But we're actually looking at other opportunities in other states. There's a moratorium here in Louisiana, but we are looking at Mississippi and Texas, who have new regulations on how and, you know, so we can expand in our territory.
What a moratorium on facilities such as yours?
Absolutely.
Because why?
Funding, more than anything else, it's funding. But their need is, you know, there's a huge need. But in terms of the moratorium, there's a facility needs review that would need to be conducted, and it's a very arduous process. But with Texas and also Mississippi having new regulations and new opportunities, we actually are looking at both those in terms of immediate expansion opportunities.
And that funding moratorium, I guess, I mean, that funding shortfall, it would be state funds,
yes,
right? I mean,
absolutely.
Is most of your money from the state?
It is. Yeah,
and
over
so
70% of our patients are state funded. They are.
Yeah. Blaisha, tell me a little bit about the sort of just the entrepreneurial landscape here in Baton Rouge. And has it been easy for you to grow your business? Have you found, did you need to have access to capital or anything like that? Or it's just sort of come together for you?
It's come together. Both of my parents have always, you know, they've been serial entrepreneurs, so I had a good role models as far as that goes. I think easy wouldn't be the right word. Nothing worth doing is easy, you know, so no, we've definitely had a bumpy road just as far as how to grow and how to scale strategically. Yeah. And so as far as capital goes, no, I didn't need anything. With nurses, my biggest cost is my labor.
Sure.
And so I really don't need supplies, very low inventory other than minimal medical supplies. And so no, I didn't need any capital, didn't have to get into any type of debt, take out any loans or anything to get this started.
And because you're private pay, that removes a huge barrier, I suppose, dealing with insurance reimbursements and negotiating rates and all that.
It does.
But you have to insure these nurses that you're sending out into patients' homes. Is that a nightmare, that liability?
That is a nightmare.
Okay.
Yes.
Good question.
We have every type of insurance that you could possibly have. In fact, one of the things is like hired and non-owned on my nurse's cars, because we do pick up patients from surgery and transport them home.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Professional liability, of course, is a really big deal. And so we have professional liability for our nurses. And so, yes, insurance is a nightmare. But in this instance, I would rather be more than covered than not covered enough.
Sure. And Renita, you do have to deal with reimbursements and negotiating rates. You must have a whole department that deals with that kind of paperwork, for lack of a better word, alone.
Yeah, in terms of the insurance, like you said, the costs are absolutely astronomical, but we are overly insured and making sure that all of the needs of our patients are met, but in addition, our staff is covered and the businesses. And in terms of being an entrepreneur, as a mama bear who needs a service, I made sure that every barrier that I was faced, we pushed it out of the way to make sure that not only my daughter got the services she needed, but all children in Baton Rouge can have access to those same services.
Well, Renita Williams-Thomas and Blaisha Rivette, you both are bringing so many important services to Baton Rouge in a way that is so badly needed. Thank you for all of your creativity, passion, and compassion for your patients, their caregivers, and the broader provider community. And thank you for taking time to share your stories with us today on Out to Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been Renita Williams-Thomas of In Loving Arms Pediatric Day Health Center and Blaisha Rivette of Decision Critical. We edited this show to fit into our time slot here on WRKF. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about In Loving Arms and Decision Critical on the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast on your podcast app and on our website, itsbatonrouge.la. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsbatonrouge.la and on our Out to Lunch Baton Rouge social media. Today's photos were taken by Brian Newton. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsbatonrouge.la and WRKF 89.3 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producers are Peter Ricciuti and Ann Edelman. Today's show was engineered by Dylan Babineau. I'm Stephanie Riegel. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you around the table again here at Mansour's next week for more business Baton Rouge style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Baton Rouge is recorded live over lunch at Mansour's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Mansour's is open for lunch daily, 11 to 2, for dinner nightly, and for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at mitchellforeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.